people get locked up so they can be taught a lesson. When they get out, they are supposed to be better. But if they come out and people go, I'm not giving you a job because you were in jail, then what the flippin' did I go to jail for? That was my punishment. How do you not give those people a shot? They're saying that all life should be over because of a mistake. Ooh. Your life should end and there should be an opportunity to change. What are you talking about? And who are you to make that decision? According to Hart, comedians like himself are holding themselves back for fear of running afoul of a sensitive climate. You are thinking that things you say will come back and bite you on the arse. He said of censoring his material, I can't be a comic today that I was when I got into this. He later clarified that ruffling feathers with an off-collar joke is not necessarily about cancel culture. It's backlash. It's about the intent behind what you say. There's an assumption it's always bad, and somehow we forget comedians are going for the laugh. You're not saying something to make people angry. That's not why I'm on stage. I'm trying to make you laugh. And if I did not make you laugh, I failed. I failed. That's my consequence. Ultimately, Hart feels this society should be able to have disagreement without division or backlash. If there's a message to take from anything I've said, it's that in the world of opinion, it's okay to just disagree. He told the paper, it's okay not to like what someone did and to say that person wasn't for me. We are so caught up in everybody feeling like they have to be right and their way is the only way. Politics is effed up because if you don't choose our side, you're dumb. It's a divide. It's effed up. But I'm not about to divide. I don't support the divide. I put everybody in the effing building. We all come into this building. Kevin Hart is in, and we all laugh and bring people together, like it or not. The father of four also addressed the controversy surrounding his Oscars announcement and his past jokes about LGBTQ community. If people want to pull up stuff, go back to the same tweets of old, go ahead, he said. There is nothing I can do. You're looking at a younger version of myself, a comedian trying to be funny, and an attempt at failing. Apologies were made. I understand now how it comes off. I look back and cringe. So it's growth. It's about growth. Your thoughts about this long but great story?
I agree 110%. I love Mr. Hart.
I think he's awesome.
Everything he said there was right. There's no reason for us to constantly be fighting.
No.
You know, Doc Thompson told me, one of the most important things he ever told me, you can make fun of anybody, you can make fun of anything, as long as it comes from the right place. And I'm telling you, I agree with that.
I do,
and that's,
too.
And that's absolutely what Kevin Hart was just saying.
He nailed it, Hans.
What, like, be American, just, you know, take a step back, have a little bit of fun, put a smile on your face, laugh a little bit.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Aha. Shawnee went into YouTube. Everybody's going to YouTube.
Yes, go over to YouTube, guys. I'm telling you, it's so much better experience.
It's weird on Facebook, isn't it?
It is. Fascist book is just what it is, fascist.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure this out with our culture today, because Kevin Hart snapped on something there. Our comedians, imagine Richard Pryor doing his skit today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
They would try to cancel him in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, they would just go out and get him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's not only him, George Carlin. They would come hard at George.
Carlin,
all your good comedians.
Carlin
would
is
get
still
hit hard.
To this day.
Popular.
They're still, well, yeah. He passed away, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
They still have clips of him talking about climate change, yeah. how egotistical of us humans
right.
to think that we're going to do something to this earth because, what did he say? We're a pimple on its.
Right. And I can name a group of guys too that would get canceled today. Cheech and Chong.
Oh, Cheech and Chong would be gone forever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Because of the stuff that they did back in the '80s and the '70s.
Well, here's the thing: not everything that we're supposed to like today is good.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says. Like this new version of whatever we're supposed to, the Great Reset is not just about money.
No.
The Great Reset is about this
control.
The whole psychological
It's all
feeling.
About power and control of the mind.
I believe so.
It is.
I believe so.
It's mind over their matter.
Well, and I still look at science as fact. Okay, I don't look at emotions and feelings as fact.
Yeah.
I feel bad if you feel bad.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that there are facts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Fact checking.
But a lot of times it's mind over their own matter, is like I say.
It could be.
Because they're a matter of their interest.
Pretty much. Speaking of interest, it's National Strawberry Shortcake Day.
Wow.
You like it?
I like it.
You love it?
I love it.
Would you rather have a donut or strawberry shortcake?
Donut.
Okay. Hello, Carolyn. This is the question.
All right.
Strawberry shortcake. Do you want it on, like, angel food? Or do you want it on buttermilk biscuit with strawberries and whipped cream on it?
Oh, I'm going to take the angel food cake. It's so good.
But, well, that's because you don't know what true goodness is. I keep trying to teach. I'm working on it, folks. It's a long process. But there's nothing better than a buttermilk biscuit ripped in half.
With apple butter jelly.
With strawberries and strawberry juice covered on it.
Yeah, I like just apple butter jelly.
A little bit of sugar. And then whipped cream put on top of it.
I'd rather have apple butter jelly.
You'd rather have what?
Apple butter jelly.
Huh?
Homemade.
Hmm?
Homemade
apple butter. I still couldn't hear you.
Apple butter jelly.
Okay, see, that's what I think of that. It's National Pop Goes the Weasel Day. Okay, but we're not trying to get into your dating life. And we're not talking about miniature weasels either. So it's National Bourbon Day. Yeah, you'd say pony, I'd say stallion, but, you know.
Yeah.
National Bourbon Day. Do you like bourbon?
Bourbon? I used to.
It depends on the bourbon. Do you like the really sour tasting bourbon?
I used to like the, I like the sour, I guess.
Do you like it when it takes your breath away?
Not really.
So you don't like sipping whiskey?
No.
Yeah, like just ice, just you know,
drinking it,
bourbon whiskey it. And some ice, throw it around. You don't like that?
I just douse it usually when I drink in the day.
It's also National New Mexico Day. Yeah, New Mexico. Yeah. Anything? Our good old buddy Johnny.
We talked about this morning.
Yeah, and my grandfather, he lived by Conch Dam for a while.
Yeah.
And I do believe that New Mexico has some of the cheapest land available in the U.S., northern New Mexico.
And my great aunt and uncle lived out there, too.
They like it or no?
Oh, yeah, they lived there for years.
Must have loved it then.
Yeah, their kids graduated from there, and they both went into the Air Force Academy and everything. So they're twins, so they did an awesome job. They were in there for 40 years, I think.
40 years, wow.
UAF.
Yeah. Oh, Susan's like, donut. She'd rather have a donut. Dan Jackson says, my problem is I like bourbon too much. There are certain things that I like too much.
Yeah.
And I got to stay away from.
Oh, I know. I'm in that boat.
Okay. I used to be the guy that, do you remember when Big League Chew was big?
Yeah.
And you could go around to any gas station and find it?
You can't find it anywhere. I can't down here.
Well, especially grape.
Yeah.
Because grape Big League Chew is my favorite gum of all time.
Mine too.
So if I see it, it's like tempting and I stay away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That I don't still love it, but self-control.
Right.
And that's kind of hard, I'm telling you. But, yeah, it's also International Bath Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I don't take baths. I take showers.
Right.
Are you a bath guy or a shower guy?
I'm a shower guy.
There's something about it, and I just can't get over it, sitting in your own filth.
I know. I can't get past that either. I used to tell the wife, I said, I just can't see taking a bath because you're just sitting in your dirty water.
Well, you know, being a welder for many years of my life, when I came home,
yeah, you definitely
and I took a shower, I looked down and I was just black rolling off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then to think that, yeah, I'm going to sit down in the bath and
that's kind of how it was for me when I had my factory job at the railroad company in town.
Okay.
Where I used to make aluminum sides for the railroad cars.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and we used to go home dirty. I mean, dirty. That's back when I was like 19, 20 years old after high school.
Well, speaking of dirty, I got a show. I got a story for us. Hello, Kevin Matern. I always love it when he comes up.
Yeah.
South Dakota. So,
good place to go visit.
Do you know where Pink Lemonade came from? I love me some pink lemonade. How about you?
I do, too. I like it better than yellow lemonade.
I do, too. However, the origins of pink lemonade are somewhat disturbing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You want to hear about it? Yeah, it's one of those things.
Really?
I just, if you were thinking pink lemonade, what would you think? Where did it come from? Where do you think?
Hawaii. Would be my first guess.
Okay, keep going.
California.
No.
Florida. Oh, let me guess, Maine?
No, no. Okay, we'll do this right. Because
everything's coming out of Maine now.
Okay. Pink lemonade, folks, if you don't want to look at pink lemonade less than you already do, you might not want to listen to this next part, right? Nothing screams summer like a tall glass of cold lemonade. Well, where did this fruity beverage begin, pink lemonade? The story of pink lemonade is actually anything but refreshing. In fact, we can trace the origins of pink lemonade back to the early days of the circus when performers used to wring out their tights into buckets during nightly performances. Unfortunately, you might be able to guess where this story is headed. Traditional lemonade dates back to the 17th century, Paris, France, from the very early beginnings and simple lemon water sugar recipe. The hype of this sweet drink never seemed to lose its appeal. By the 19th century, the booming ice trade made cold drinks even more popular. Lemonade was having a shining moment. All right, get ready. Get ready. At this time, traveling circuses were also making a name for themselves with fantastical people. I don't even know if that's a word, fantastical.
I know. Must be our
name. Did you write this?
I know, right? It sounds like something I would write.
Yeah, fantastical people, whimsical performances, and death-defying stunts as they made their rounds across the country. It was here that pink lemonade made its first appearance as a makeshift concession. In 1921, author Harvey Root's book, The Way of the Circus, being the memories and adventures of George Conklin, Tamer of Lions, makes mention of the main character's brother, Pete Conklin, and his quick-thinking abilities. A drink vendor at the time, Pete ran out of water while selling lemonade during one of the shows. Rather than take the easy route with a simple sold-out sign, this man, Pete Conklin, improvised with a tub of dirty laundry water. One of the performers had just finished wringing out her pink-colored tights. And Pete took this as an opportunity to create a whimsical new drink. Marketed as strawberry lemonade, the only difference between this beverage and the mainstream lemonade was its color. Well, the color and the fact that it was made with dirty laundry water. Yeah, what do you think of that?
I don't know. How'd they come up with strawberry? It's just more like cherry, wouldn't it? Well, it was pink.
Remember, the circus performers, I mean, you know, they went out there and they were sweaty. So they twisted their tights into the laundry water.
Yeah.
He ran out of water to mix with his lemons and stuff. So the water that he got was pink from the tights being wrung out. And, yeah, he used it to make lemonade and sold it as pink lemonade.
Oh, my God.
I still like pink lemonade.
I do, too, as long as it don't come from that circus. We're good.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to gross everybody out, and I didn't want to, you know.
Well, I think it's too late for that one.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, pink lemonade is still good. You know, some people put mint in their pink lemonade.
Now I know why.
Sorry, Matt. He said, why now we do know they why have they to ruin everything good?
Now we know why they put men in it, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
Gotta get rid of that sweaty thing.
Sweaty crotch.
Taste, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and just think that he kept selling it.
I know.
Yeah, well, now we know.
What if he had a hooker in there?
That's disgusting.
I know, right?
I mean, you've seen how sweaty them people get, right?
I know.
And remember, this is back in the days with circuses where they didn't have air conditioning in the circus. So just imagine how sweaty those tights were.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Disgusting. Disgusting. I mean, Susan says you can't drink it. I mean, come on. You're making it yourself. You just know the origins of it. Now, maybe you can call it something different. Like
that was the origin of it. They don't make it like that now. If you call it country time, I'm sure that they'll say, we don't wring out the woman's underwear or men's underwear.
What I'd like to know is how would you market that? How would you approach marketing that? if everybody knew the origins of Pink Lemonade.